We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom. Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Welcome to another episode of the Prosperity Podcast, presented by Americans for Prosperity, the nation's largest grassroots advocate for free markets. You can subscribe to the Prosperity Podcast on iTunes and find all of our episodes on AmericansForProsperity.org. I am your host, Ed Dean. Welcome to another edition of Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Ed Dean. Hurricane Irma and Hurricane Maria just devastated the island of Puerto Rico. And one of the implementations, of course, has been trying to get distribution to the people in need. But there's been something that has been holding this up, and that is the Jones Act. It may sound a little confusing. You may be scratching your head. But Max Zimmerman, who is the vice president of government affairs, where he works on both for federal and state policy, is going to explain why this law needs to be repealed. All this coming up next on this edition of Prosperity Podcast. Welcome to another edition of Prosperity Podcast. I am your host, Ed Dean. Today, let's talk about President Trump's visit to Puerto Rico during the aftermath after Hurricane Maria. Max Zimmerman is currently the Vice President of Government Affairs. We are talking with him right now. He has served for Americans for Prosperity, both on the federal and on the state level. So, you know, Mac, always it's good to talk to you. When you look what took place, you've got the President visiting Puerto Rico. It seems like there's a lot of political nonsense going on between the mayor of San Juan, a bickering between her and President Trump. You covered a lot of this with policy. You saw the president visit Puerto Rico this week. I want to know what your thoughts are about what we've seen about the problems and the things that relate to Puerto Rico, the Jones Act. Give me your thoughts right now.
Yeah, I mean, Puerto Rico has been in the news on and off for the last few years. I mean, the financial problems and the economic stagnation that we've seen down there are nothing new. You know, the hurricane just both hurricanes actually made things substantially more difficult for people on the island, as did the law that you've mentioned, the Jones Act, also known as the Merchant Marine Act of 1920, which is another factor that has really held the Puerto Rican economy down and sort of made it very difficult for people to get ahead on the island by increasing costs and limiting choice.
Mac, you know, a lot of people that follow a lot of these issues are probably scratching their head going, okay, what is the Jones Act in English? Because when you read this, it's like a little confusing. In layman's terms, what is the Jones Act all about?
Sure. The Jones Act is an antiquated law, as I mentioned, from the late 19-teens, early 20s, actually signed into law by Woodrow Wilson. So that gives you an idea of just how old of a piece of legislation we're talking about. But the crux of the Jones Act, at least the portion that we're concerned with for our purposes, is a mandate in federal law that requires that any cargo shipped between two U.S. domestic ports has to travel on a U.S.-owned, U.S.-made, largely U.S.-staffed, and U.S.-repaired ship. Now, you know, a lot of people hear that and think, yeah, you know, that seems like a pretty good idea. They think of things like America First. Well, it's not quite so simple, and in many cases, it puts America last. I mean, one of the analogies that I use is, you know, a lot of people, you know, order pizza once in a while from Domino's or Pizza Hut. Imagine how much your pizza would cost if that pizza had to be baked. I'm from Denver. If it had to be baked in an oven made in Colorado, delivered to you in a car assembled in Colorado, driven by a Colorado native, which was only serviced by a mechanic in Denver. That would really cut down on the number of drivers, the number of cars, the number of ovens, and the number of repair joints that you could get your all of those things to be taken care of, which, of course, would all you as the customer would all manifest themselves in the form of a much more expensive and much less efficient system.
When asked about the Jones Act, President Trump was very candid that the reason why the Jones Act is still around is because of the domestic shipping lobby. Explain what that's about, Mac.
Yeah, well, I mean, I kind of walked through a little bit about what those mandates that the Jones Act requires are. And so what you get as a result of that is a very protected industry. You know, there's a handful of U.S. companies that benefit from this law. C-Star, Crowley, Horizon, I think are the main ones. And these companies, you know, essentially are in a position where they don't have to face stiff competition, improve their product, or lower their prices because they have this special lane that's carved out in the law for them by the Jones Act. And let me explain in sort of in real terms what that means. We've all seen those shipping containers at docks, on trains, and on trucks. A 40-foot shipping container, if you're shipping that container from Los Angeles to Hawaii, will cost 10 times as much as it costs to ship that same shipping container from L.A. to Shanghai, China, despite the distance. You know, on the other side of the country, you're looking at a situation where it costs twice as much to ship that 40-foot container from the U.S. mainland to Puerto Rico, as opposed to shipping it from the U.S. mainland to the Dominican Republic, which is, you know, virtually the same distance. And the reason is because you have to put it on a Jones Act compliant ship when you're pushing it between the two domestic ports. And so these companies, because of the limited competition that they receive, are able to charge significantly more for freight costs. And that's something that you know, ends up being picked up and paid for by people who are on the receiving end. And, you know, that results in things like food costing twice as much in Puerto Rico as it does in Florida. The average cost of a car is about $6,000 more on the island as it is on the U.S. mainland. And it's not just the territories that get the raw end of the deal on this. You know, any remote part of the country, Alaska, I mentioned Hawaii, Puerto Rico, they tend to feel the most acute impacts. But this is also something that negatively impacts, you know, U.S. businesses. A lot of products that you don't think of every day, things like fertilizer, animal feed, even road salt, the stuff that they put down when it snows so that we don't, you know, slide off the road in our cars. U.S. suppliers of those products are at a disadvantage in their own market because in many cases, because of the cost of shipping associated with the Jones Act, it becomes cheaper for, you know, a DOT in a state like Virginia to buy their road salt from somewhere in South America than it does to pay the inflated shipping costs associated with bringing it from somewhere in the southeastern United States. So, you know, it presents a lot of problems, a lot of unintended consequences that I think have, you know, largely sort of sailed quietly under the radar for, you know, the last century. And there are things that we only think about when you have really bad disasters like the hurricane in Puerto Rico, where people start sort of scratching their heads thinking, wow, this really doesn't make a lot of sense.
Mac, outside of maybe natural disasters, is that the major negative effect from the Jones Act? Or I'm sure, because you are a student of history as well, I'm sure you could sit here for an hour and show us other negative side effects of the Jones Act.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that we think about more during disasters because there's a lot more focus put on, you know, hey, we've got to get relief to folks. We've got to get, you know, reconstruction products. We've got to get food and water. So people start paying a lot more attention to, you know, hiccups in logistics, of which the Jones Act is a government-created one. And so, you know, we think about it during these times, but, you know, it's really something that's kind of a slow burn in the background at all times. I mean, all of these things come back to us in the form of higher prices. And so that happens whether or not there's a hurricane. You know, I mentioned sort of the cost of a car and food, things like that in Puerto Rico. Electricity is twice as much in Hawaii because a lot of the electricity is generated by petroleum. So these are things that are everyday occurrences. You know, the good news is that President Trump has provided an executive order or administrative action that provides some temporary relief from the Jones Act for the island. Which will give them more choices in shipping and help facilitate the speedy delivery of products that people need to kind of get back on track down on the island. You know, temporary is good. Permanent would be better. And he's not the only president that's done this. President Obama and President Bush both issued similar proclamations to provide relief in the wake of Katrina and Sandy, which we all remember. And, you know, when they do this, it's an admission that this is really an antiquated and problematic law because, it's, you know, they're essentially confirming like, hey, we've got to suspend the rules associated with this law because it's causing problems. But that doesn't mean it doesn't cause problems when there's not a disaster. And, you know, frankly, I wish they would continue to kind of take their reasoning to its logical conclusion. And, you know, in the wake of this disaster, there's going to be a lot of reconstruction that happens on Puerto Rico. And that's going to involve the shipment of materials that are needed for that effort. And so, you know, I think it would behoove Congress, and I think a lot of people agree that maybe it's time to take a look at this century-old law. Maybe it's time to kind of sweep this away so that we have fewer impediments to recovery and fewer impediments to assisting people, not just when disasters happen, but around, you know, around the clock of 365 days a year.
Mac, let me ask you a final question. You pointed out about 7-8 minutes ago that the Jones Act has been around since Woodrow Wilson, which goes back to, as you point out, 100 years ago. But now, as of now, it's getting a lot of national attention. Even those in Congress, like Senator John McCain, have talked about eliminating the Jones Act entirely. Is this something Americans for Prosperity support? And give us your analysis. What is the likelihood of a repeal or a full repeal or somewhat part of a repeal of the Jones Act?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're always supportive of anything that lawmakers can do that will reduce, you know, barriers to opportunity and sweep away artificial sort of legal constructs that increase costs and deprive people of choice. And the Jones Act certainly does that. I think, you know, your point is well taken that this is one of those things that isn't always on the top of Congress's agenda. But, you know, I think in the wake of Harvey and Irma, there's going to be, you know, a flurry of legislation, whether that's relief funding or broader reconstruction packages. And, you know, we're hopeful, along with our partner organizations, such as Libre and others, that Congress will, you know, instead of just sort of putting a Band-Aid over this, and of course, you know, nobody opposes efforts to try and fund adequate reconstruction efforts on the island, but they should really look at making some structural changes like removing the Jones Act that will, you know, help Puerto Rico be able to economically grow, expand opportunity on the island, and again, you know, get rid of the impediments to reconstruction and economic growth that the Jones Act represents.
We've been talking with Mac Zimmerman, currently a vice president of government affairs, where he works state and federal policy and for strategy as well for Americans for Prosperity. Mac, as always, it was good to talk to you today.
Hey, you too, Ed.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Prosperity Podcast. If you want to learn more about these issues and get involved in the fight for freedom, go to AmericansForProsperity.org. That's AmericansForProsperity.org. I have been your host, Ed Dean.